Welcome, everybody. This show took a bit to get together. I had screwed up the timing of it with Jared, and then we had some technical issues. Also, too, the planned questions and answers that I was going to do since Brian's in the UK. I've decided to scrap that, and I'm just going to share some stories and my experiences with Terry Funk. If I can't imagine you haven't heard, Terry Funk passed away yesterday. I found out, I actually drove my wife to an eye doctor appointment, and I dropped her off and went and got a coffee and then was just coming back to wait. And when I parked, I pulled up my phone and saw the news, and I just sat there in my car and cried. I think obviously the outpouring of support yesterday, everyone realizes that, everyone loved Terry Funk. I think it was Mike Tenay that said it best when Terry was everything right with the wrestling business. I first became a fan of Terry Funk. First ever saw him would have been Saturday Night's Main Event. I think he probably wrestled Hulk Hogan the first time I saw him. And he was middle-aged and crazy then, back in the 80s. But obviously his career, I looked it up, started in 1965, ended in 2017, which is, I think, if my math is correct, it was like 52 years, which is just incredible. But, you know, what he meant to the wrestling business. I wrote, and I'm going to try to find it, I wrote about him a couple of times on my website when I was doing the weekly commentaries. And the beginning of 2000, there was talk of Wrestler of the Millennia. And I wrote an article saying I thought Terry Funk deserved consideration, and, you know, talked about his, you know, his NWA world title run, which was before I had ever heard of Terry Funk and before I was ever a pro wrestling fan. But, you know, he was the world's heavyweight champion, and, you know, what him and his brother as a tag team were in All Japan Pro Wrestling before, you know, his run in WWF. And then probably my biggest fandom of Terry Funk came in 89 with his run in WCW. That was probably the peak of my fandom because that was right before I decided to do this for a living. But I was always a bigger WCW fan, NWA fan, than I was WWF. And I had satellite access to get TBS and all the clashes and the pay-per-views and the program with Ric Flair and the, God, what was it called? The JTEX group. Him and Muda, managed by Gary Hart. I have memories of the Thunderdome cage. And Terry was just fantastic. And, you know, he did so much more. And this, when I was home, this is just going to ramble all over the place. Stream of consciousness, guys, you'll have to deal with it. When I was home months ago, got inducted into my local hometown Sports Hall of Fame, I remember one of my buddies asking me, why Terry Funk? Why of all the wrestlers you've met, known, and everything else, why Terry Funk? And, you know, he started explaining to him the scope and impact of the man from his WWF run, his WCW run, his NWA world title run, his All Japan Pro Wrestling run. Excuse me. And then after that, and this would have been, I'm just going to try to go in chronological order of, you know, Funk's career and life and insert where I cross paths. But in Smoky Mountain, you know, he really helped Smoky Mountain out. Both he and Dory came in, but, you know, Terry's the standout from personality. And first time I met him would have been the Sunday Bloody Sunday show in Smoky Mountain, Knoxville Civic Coliseum. Cornette had brought Jericho and I in to negotiate with us, convince us we wanted to be part of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So he brought us into a big show. And Terry was the main event, I believe, of that night. He wrestled The Bullet when Bob Armstrong was doing the Midnight Rider gimmick, the Yellow Dog gimmick, the whatever you want to call it. He wasn't supposed to be in the territory, and he was wrestling under the mask as The Bullet. And he was wrestling Terry Funk. And that was the night that Terry Funk did his first ever moonsault. And Chris and I were sitting way up in the cheap seats where they hadn't sold tickets, just to watch the show. And I remember smart-ass me. It was supposed to be the finish. They screwed it up and had to adjust. But Terry Funk makes this big pile of chairs in the middle of the ring, and he slams Bob on the chairs. And then he goes over and he starts climbing up the turnbuckle facing out. And smart-ass me, I'm just like, yeah, sure, Terry, do a moonsault, why don't you? Assuming he's going to be stopped or do something else, because in my mind, there's zero chance. I don't know how old he was in 94. You can look it up. But never in a million years did I think this crazy guy is going to do a moonsault. And then the son of a bitch did. And my mouth's just dropping. But unfortunately, it was his first. And the finish was supposed to be Bob rolls out of the way and Terry moonsaults and lands in a big pile of chairs. Except Bob rolls in and Terry does his moonsault and lands perfectly right on top of Bob, missing the chairs completely. And Terry ended up, I think he may have pinned him and he kicked out. I don't recall. I just remember laughing that, oops, that didn't go well. So he picks Bob up and tries to pile drive him in the pile of chairs, gets backdropped over out of that into the pile of chairs and gets pinned, and the bullet wins. And I remember going to the locker room right afterwards because I just was just dumbfounded and amazed that this crazy son of a bitch did a moonsault. And everyone was, you know, putting Terry over, as everyone does, because everybody loves Terry. And I remember someone saying, it's like, God damn it, you know, no one ever thought, it was probably Jim Cornette, God damn it, Terry, I never thought I'd see you do a fucking moonsault. And Terry just looked at me and said, well, God damn it, it's the first and the last one I'm ever going to do with them stupid sons of bitches. And I thought I saw the first and last Terry Funk moonsault, but he continued to do them for, God, for decades after that. So that was when I first met Terry Funk, 1994, and he came in and did Night of Legends, the night Jericho broke his arm, the bloodbath. He was part of the main event, 10-man, I believe it was, tag at the Civic Coliseum again. So I'd met Terry and talked to him a few times in 94, and 94 is important for a later date. But then, obviously, after that, he had, you know, he did appearances for FMW and really helped out Onita and FMW with, you know, doing baseball stadium barbed wire matches with Onita. And if you watch any of Onita's barbed wire crazy death matches, the Terry Funk ones are the best. So, he helped in FMW. Obviously, ECW, he was instrumental in helping put ECW on the map and giving it credibility and really giving Tommy Dreamer the leg up, if you will. I know Tommy loved Terry to death, and I texted him yesterday because I know he would be crushed. But, you know, him mentoring and being associated with Dreamer helped Tommy and helped ECW, you know, with the... I guess it was the, what was it called? Born to be Wired, the barbed wire match with Sabu. He did stuff before that, but this was the first time that I was there because he was part of the infamous, somebody get me a chair, where all the chairs are flung into the ring. I think it was him and Cactus. But I was there for the night for Born to be Wired, and that was the barbed wire match with Sabu. I was on before that with Shane Douglas, actually. But I remember talking to Terry then, and my first few times in with ECW, Terry was there. He was there barely legal. He was there on this show. And this is where the 1994 comes in. When I saw Terry, I didn't even know if he would remember me. He's like, hey, Desert, how you doing? And I'm like, hey, Terry, good to see you again. Oh, great to see you, Desert. And I'm, in my mind, I'm like, Desert? What the fuck? But I'm not going to correct Terry Funk. He could call me a flying shitbag if he wanted to. He's Terry Funk. And I finally connected the dots in that we met in 94, which was during the Gulf War in Kuwait, and Operation Desert Storm was a thing. So I assume, I could be wrong, I can't predict Funkism, but I assume he remembered my name was something Storm, and he was thinking back to his time in Smoky Mountain, and the thing that made the most sense to him was Desert Storm. So for my first few months in ECW, I was Desert. And he was like, "Hey, Desert, how you doing?" I'm like, "Hey, Terry." And it was just, that's who I was. And he could call me whatever he wanted. But, yeah, I was there for the barbed wire match. And I remember, God, them trying to cut those guys loose after the barbed wire match. And then that led to Barely Legal, which, again, was for the title, I believe. It was a weird thing. There was a match earlier in the day. And then I think the main event was a three-way. But... Terry was an integral part of that, and I think, you know, everyone tells a story of Paul thinking you always need that one veteran to give a new promotion credibility, and Terry was that for ECW. He gave the promotion credibility, he gave those who worked with him and those he put over credibility, and, you know, he went on, I don't know if it was before or after, you know, he did the FMW stuff, and he did Wing, and the King of the Deathmatch stuff with Cactus and really put Cactus on the map. Like the impact he had on the industry was crazy. Went back to WCW because I remember the Brian and Vinny and Craig and Sean were just talking about it. The match, I think it was with Candido. I could be wrong. Maybe it was one of the ones with Abdul or Cactus where he got kicked by the horse and cussed out the horse because that's what Terry Funk does. And it was incredible. And then in WCW again, and this is really the important story for me, I shared a photo of me shaking hands with Terry, which I'll explain later because that's actually a different match. But in WCW in 2000, when I was having my big run with the Canadian / US title belt, I guess it would have been after New Blood Rising because I didn't have the other two at the time. But there was one of our rare house show loops. And we were doing Amarillo and Lubbock, Texas on the weekend. And I found out when I got the sheet that I would be wrestling Terry Funk. And again, by this time, I'm, you know, just love and respect Terry like nobody's business as a fan, as a worker, as a friend, because I had progressed from Desert and he'd remembered my name and learned it by the time we were done in ECW. So I knew I was wrestling Terry Funk in Amarillo, and I remember flying to the show being disappointed that I was the U.S. / Canadian champ, because I'm thinking, it's like, they're going to have me do some kind of fuck finish and beat Terry Funk, or it's going to be a DQ, because clearly they're not, you know, Terry wasn't even under contract. So they're clearly not going to, you know, put the U.S. title on Terry Funk on a house show when he doesn't work for the company. So I'm like, oh, this sucks. But I still excited to get to work Terry Funk. So when I get to the building, I see Terry. He's like, hey, Terry. He's like, hey, Lance, how are you doing? And I don't remember who the agent was. Probably Johnny, but it could have been someone else. Pulls just Terry and I into their little office. He's like, well, this is what we're thinking of doing. If it's okay with the both of you, which is classic WCW. They always used to have to politically please everyone. It was always, you weren't given a finish, you negotiated one. And they're like, you know, if it's okay with the both of you, and I'm assuming they were more concerned with clearing it with Terry than with me. But they're like, you know, if we like to do it, it's like, if you're okay for it, Lance, we could put Terry over tonight for the title. And then Terry, if you're fine with that, we, you know, and you could drop it back to Lance tomorrow night in Lubbock. And Terry was like, yeah, that, you know, I'm assuming Terry, because he's a total pro, was just figuring it's like, well, I don't work for the company. I'll just do a job both nights. So the decision was made, thrilled both Terry and I, that we were going to put Terry over in Amarillo, Texas. And thankfully, I've got both matches on DVD now. Charles Robinson had a handheld VHS video recorder that he brought to host shows and recorded both matches and got me a copy on VHS, which I've since transferred. But this was also, because it's the one funny part of the match. I love the match. But Tylene Buck was with me, but she hadn't turned yet. She was, I think I had just won the table match where she was a prisoner of war. So Tylene was a babyface, but she was my quote-unquote manager. And Terry clearly wasn't watching the TV, so he didn't know she was a babyface and acted accordingly, thinking she was a heel, which made the match kind of funny. But the best part is, and again, everyone tells her, oh, we're sold out. And it's like, I have no idea if we're sold out, but Terry's a fucking legend in Amarillo, Texas, if not the rest of the world too. And he had done all the local promotions. So it was a great house. And for WCW in 2000, having a great house was a miracle. And it felt packed to me. And, you know, Terry, because Terry's a classic worker, we put the bit of a finish together. And we went out and worked. And you get a lot of my Terry Funk impressions here coming up. But we're putting the match together. We're trying to think what we're going to do. And I think his... I think the finish was his idea, and it was so ridiculously simple, which is why it works. We would do a bunch of near falls. He's going to go to put me in the spinning toe. I small package him, 1-2. He rolls a small package over, 1-2-3. Terry Funk is your new U.S. Heavyweight champion. But so we're putting a couple of near falls together. And at one point, he's like, man, we need one more near fall here. What could you hit me with here? And I remember saying, he's like, I have a really safe pile driver if you're okay taking it, Terry. He's like, God damn it, kid, I don't care if it's safe. Just hit me with it. I'm just like, okay. So I'm like, well, if it's all the same to you, Terry, I'll still take care of you and not kill you with my pile driver. So I did pile drive him for a near fall. But yeah, we went out and I did I was doing the Canadian national anthem thing. And as hot as Americans are when you do that, when you cut a promo on Texas and then do that, they wanted to lynch me. And I remember the setup. They had the lights over the ring, but the arena was dark. And the lights were fairly low. So as I'm doing the Canadian national anthem thing, the top of my head is actually hot to the point where I'm like, fuck, oh, the song hurries up. My scalp is burning. But the arena was black, and the crowd started throwing shit at me. And if you've ever driven in a snowstorm at night or watched Star Wars and seen them go to hyperspace, shit was like flying at me as I'm standing there with my arms behind my back for the national anthem, and they're throwing shit. And at one point, this giant ball of something, I'm hoping it was a tape ball, I don't know what the hell it was, came flying at me, and I'm literally standing there at attention, and it comes flying straight at my face, and I just lean to the side. It goes right by, and I come back up, and I'm trying to no-sell this shit so they don't throw more stuff. And at one point, I don't know if it was Lubbock or Amarillo, I get dinged right in the chin just below my bottom lip with a Bic lighter. I didn't know it was a Bic lighter until I looked down and saw it laying at my feet, but it was just like, bang, and I'm like, ow, these motherfuckers. And then Terry Funk's music hit, and the place went crazy. And he gets in and cuts a promo about how there's, 5,000 Texans out, ranchers out here that want to shove a hockey stick up your ass. And they're going crazy. And we just worked. And I remember talking to Dave Meltzer about the match and about how time and place is everything. And I've said, it's like, I don't even know if I've watched the match back. I know I have it. I probably watched it when I was dubbing it back to DVD. But I don't want to. I probably will again now, but in the moment in that night, and I told Dave this, I'm like, it was 10 stars. Like, the match was perfect. Every time I touched him, the heat was incredible. Every time he did anything, the place exploded like the ball just dropped on New Year's Eve. Excuse me as I scratch my nose. And it was just crazy. And we just wrestled. We fought all over the place. We, did a table spot that wasn't planned. We just did whatever the hell we felt. I remember he did the old JYD on his hands and knees, headbutts and shit. And it's like, other than the finish, we called nothing. And we just fought and wrestled and clicked. And it was so goddamn much fun. And doing it with someone that you've been a fan of for that long, an admirer of for that long, it was just incredible. And when he won and won the title, and I wrote about this match. Oh my God, my nose is itchy. Sorry, guys. I wrote about the match afterwards, and I'll try to find it and repost it. But because I talked about how this was my favorite match of my career, and to this day, it probably is and always will be, because it was just incredible. And I remember when I was in Europe, Fit Finlay telling me that when it comes to the big match, just in a bubble, he always prefers to lose. He says, because he's a heel, losing is the better story. It gets the bigger reaction out of the crowd. And he says, laying there with that bigger reaction, it's just a better story. It's more rewarding. And as I on the mat in shock that this man beat me and took my title away, and the crowd's going crazy. And the MIA guys, Bill DeMott, the guys who I was feuding with on television, they hit the ring and put Terry on his shoulder, their shoulders, and the place is going insane. And it was just the most emotional reaction I think I've ever experienced. And we got to the back, and I remember Bill and Chavo, you know, thanking us for letting them be a part of it, that it was just the most emotional, greatest thing they've even been involved in. And afterwards, and this is it was one of the Q&As I was supposed to get to today, about, you know, your favorite moment or the most memorable moment of your career, the biggest compliment, some shit like that. And afterwards, when I got back through the curtain, Terry hugged me and thanked me for the match. And more importantly, we were sitting there afterwards, he was like, you know, thank you for taking care of me. Because he was older and I took care of him. I didn't kill him with my pile driver. And just having that moment with him, and having him thank me for it meant everything. And again, I'll jump ahead a little bit. The House of Hardcore shows that I did with Dreamer, with Funk, it was really great in that I think it was the one of the handshake photo, where it was just me against Tommy with Funker in the corner, and whoever it was, I don't remember, drove Terry and I back to LaGuardia, I think, to the airport, and in the drive, Terry was like, you know, when was that? We had that match in Amarillo. That really meant a lot to me. Thank you. And it was just that, you know, however many years later it was, a dozen years later, doing the House of Hardcore shows, that Terry remembered the match as fondly as I did, meant a world to me. So yeah, that night, and then the following in Lubbock, we did this, when I say the same thing, we just went out and did whatever the hell we wanted to do. It may or may not have been the same. But then obviously I probably belt shot at him or something for the finish. I don't remember what it was, cause it didn't matter, cause beating Terry Funk for the US title meant nothing compared to wrestling Terry in Amarillo and putting him over. So that was just an incredible time. And it was the first time I got to wrestle him too, which meant a lot. So from there, that was what, WCW in 2000, right before that, I guess he had his run again in WWE, doing the Chainsaw Charlie stuff and the tag run with Cactus. And then after WCW, I guess, yeah, it was the House of Hardcore, stuff. And that was, I was trying not to take bookings, but Tommy asked me to come in and work him, and Terry was going to be in his corner. I'm like, I can't turn this down. You know, Terry's going to be involved. So I think it was Philly. It wasn't the arena, but it was somewhere around there, I believe, somewhere nearby, that I did the single match with Dreamer. And this is the photo that I share. The one I share, I always share the one with the photographer's watermark on it as a bit of a promotion for her, but also so people can't pinch it, although mine's signed now, so you couldn't pinch it anyway. But I did the match with Tommy, and I guess Tommy beat me. I don't remember, probably. But I remember after the match, Tommy shook my hand, which was, you know, breaking kayfabe, but it was at the point where, at that point, you never know if you're going to work these guys again. So we sort of had a moment, shook hands and hugged, and Funk was on the apron, and I went over to shake his hand. At first he refused, and I don't know whether it was, you know, because we had, you know, he was involved in the finish, not wanting to break kayfabe or whatever, but I really wanted to shake his hand, and I took a knee in front of him and sort of bowed my head and put my hand out, and he shook my hand. And when I got home after the show, I saw online, Facebook somewhere, all of the photos from the show. And there's a bunch of pictures, you know, Dreamer chopping me suplexing and drop kicking Tommy. And there's this perfect photo of me on a knee, head bowed, shaking hands with Terry Funk. And I'm like, I have to have this photo. So I reached out to the woman and purchased a 11 by 17. I don't know how big it is. It's decent size, way bigger than an 8 by 10. So I purchased that photo, and she sent me one without the watermark because I had paid for it. And this was always like, I have no wrestling photos in my house whatsoever. A framed one of this is on a bookcase, It's a bookcase in my basement, but that's where my bookcases are. It's the only real wrestling photo I have, and I have it framed. And I remember, too, I have so few photos with people. I feel like I'm the mark if I go, hey, Terry, you mind getting a photo with me? And I sure as hell can't, you know, hey, would you mind signing this? I feel like a dork. But when I had that photo, and then Tommy booked me on another House of Hardcore show, and this, I think, must have been the tag. It was in Poughkeepsie, so it may not have been. It may have been when I worked Mike Bennett. But Terry was on the show, and I'm like, I don't give a shit if it makes me feel like a mark. I'm getting this signed by Terry Funk. So I rolled the photo up, and I took it with me and found a moment when he was sitting at a big table down in the basement of the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie. And I'm like, Terry, would you mind terribly signing this for me? He's like, no problem. And I put it down, and again, I feel so self-conscious and a bit of a dork. And I guess it's because, you know, there's the expression, you know, when your heroes become your peers and your friends, you don't want to go back to the former. And I felt sort of like I was being a mark and a wrestling fan rather than a peer and a friend of Terry, but I just had to have it signed. So he signed it, and I very quickly just rolled it up and stuffed it back in the tube. And he's like, aren't you going to read it? And I'm like, well, I was going to when I got home. I didn't want to be embarrassed. So I pulled it out. And it's classic Terry in that, and the inscription is perfect in that he was trying to put me over, and he did, but it's not how I read it. And the photo is just signed, shaking. Shit. Thought I was going to make it. Thought I was going to make it today. It says, shaking hands with the best, Terry Funk. And clearly he was intending to put me over, saying he's shaking hands with the best. But I will always read that as I'm shaking hands with the best. Because that's what Terry Funk was. Oh, give me a minute. So yeah, I have that signed photo framed in my house, and it's the only wrestling memorabilia I give a shit about, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah, I got that. And then the last story I do want to share. I have no idea how long I've been going. Jared can tell me to wrap it up if he feels like it, but I'm going to at least tell this other story. Again, I had decided I was done taking bookings, and Dreamer calls me again. And I don't know whether Dreamer just trying to be nice. It's like, well, I don't want to run a show and not call Lance, so he calls me. But then I'm like, well, I don't want to say no to Dreamer because I love Dreamer. And I think he ended up just including me because he wanted to be nice. And I always kept saying yes because I wanted to be nice. So I think I had finally decided I was going to say no. And he calls me up and he's like, would you be interested in doing a tag, you and X-Pac against me and Terry? And I'm like, I decided to say, I'm like, I can't say no to working Terry Funk. So I'm like, absolutely. And we had actually, I think we'd done an angle on an earlier show with Terry. And cause I think there's three, but my memory's scrambled, but there's a story to the one, and this was the angle to set up the tag. And we were hoping X-Pac would make it in time to be involved in the finish, wherever the hell the show was. But we had the plan, for him not showing up because we thought his travel was going to delay him. He wasn't going to make it. And so when we get into the finish, Terry's going to get it. No, run in by my dog. Terry's going to get in, and he's going to, you know, punch me. And then when he goes with the big haymaker, I'm going to duck, I think, super kick Funk, and then Dreamer's going to take the fall on me or something. The hope was to set up the day we're going to have X-Pac in, and he was originally going to, you know, jab, 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 big haymaker, eye bump. He goes for the spinning toe. X-Pac, Sean Waltman, hits him from behind. But we had changed it to me ducking and stopping Tommy because Pac wasn't going to make it. So we got it all put together. Jab, 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 I duck. And then X-Pac shows. So we tell Terry, it's like, okay, you know, we got X-Pac here now. So you just, you know, jab, 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 bump Lance with the haymaker, go for the spinning toe, X-Pac will cut you off. He's like, okay. And throughout the day, you know, we're getting ready to go, and Terry goes, can I run that by you one more time? I'm like, yep. And he's like, jab, jab, and then you're going to duck. And I'm like, no, Terry, I'm not going to duck. You hit me with these. Like, all right. And every time he comes to me, he keeps thinking there's the duck. And I'm thinking, it's like Terry throws those punches at the best of times. But if you're ducking, he just throws it like he's throwing a baseball and you're, because he's not hitting anybody. And I'm like, I'm not ducking. Some bitch is going to hit me so fucking hard. So I'm like, oh, please remember Terry. So I probably have a copy. I think Dreamer hooked me up with them all. Right before we go out, he says again, I'm like, no, Terry, I'm not ducking. You're actually punching me. He's like, oh, right. Okay. Yeah, no problem. So we get into the match, and I'm expecting him to just knock me just completely unconscious with this. And he ends up hitting me just fine. And we do the thing with Fechtbach. And it's like, afterwards, I'm like, was he ribbing me that whole time? Was he just making me think he was going to punch the living shit out of me? I don't know. But we had the tag match, which was the last time I worked Terry Funk. And he had just got back from Japan. And at this point, any match Terry has, it could be his last. I think he ended up having like two, maybe three more after this. It was like 2014, 15-ish. So me and X-Pac, and someone just shared the entrance of it online because Pac mentioned this on Twitter. But it's me and X-Pac. Angelina Love is valeting us, managing us, whatever you want to say. So we go out first. Dreamer comes out, and we give the ring to Tommy. And then Desperado hits, and Terry hits the stage. And it's about a two-minute video. It's on Twitter. I reposted it, so if you want to find it, it's worth watching. And Desperado is not exactly a exciting get the crowd up, but it was very emotional and very appropriate for the Funker. So Funk's coming to the ring. And I noticed Tommy in the ring in the corner bawling his fucking eyes out because he's just like, he loves Terry. So he's crying. And I look over and I see X-Pac, and that son of a bitch is crying. And then I start crying. I look over at Angelina. She's like, no, you're going to make me cry. And I think she started crying. And at one point, the three of us are on the floor. I'm like, why the fuck are we all crying? He's like, God damn, it's Terry Funk. Why I'm doing Terry Funk's voice for Sean Waltman, I have no idea. But we were just crying with a, God damn it, it's Terry Funk. And he, you know, he hugs and shakes Tommy's hand. You can see the tears on Tommy's face in the video. And he ends up coming over and shaking Pac and I's hand before the match starts. And again, the match was the match. Terry had, I think, torn an ab in Japan and was just a physical wreck. But we got through it and did the match, and I've got some photos from it. And I think I've probably got the video because, again, I think Dreamer hooked me up with them all. But, yeah, so I got to wrestle Terry Funk three times. The two singles and then the tag. And I was so hoping that the tag would end up being his last match. Because I'm like, oh, man, if I could actually be in Terry Funk's last match, that would be incredible. But he ended up wrestling, I think 2017 was his last match. But he was, as Mike Tenay so aptly stated on his Twitter, everything that was great about the wrestling business was Terry Funk. He was the outlaw. He was middle-aged and crazy. He was a world champ. He was that veteran that gave back. The guy that never stayed rooted in a, God damn it, this is the way I do it. The business is wrong. He adapted and changed with the business. He was doing moonsaults in his 50s. Crazy bastard. You know, doing hardcore matches and probably was doing hardcore matches before doing hardcore matches was cool. But he was just, when I think of pro wrestling, what I love about pro wrestling, what made me a fan, what made me want to do it for a living, what I enjoyed about doing it for a living, it's all encapsulated in Terry Funk. He was just the greatest of all time. And I honestly believe that. Just with his, the scope of his career, the influence, the constant evolving and growing with the business, and just the amount he gave back, the amount he put in, there will never be another Terry Funk. And my favorite expression will always be Dusty sucks eggs because of that t-shirt. No disrespect to Dusty, but Dusty sucks eggs. And Terry will be respected always and never forgotten. And I will always be grateful for his friendship, what he did for me in my career, and just the joy of knowing him and everything he did and the lives he touched. My condolences to everyone who knew him, everyone who was a fan of him, and obviously his family. May Terry Funk rest in peace. He will be remembered forever and ever and ever. And Jared, I think we're going to wrap up with that. I have no idea how long I went, but it really doesn't matter. Those are my thoughts on Terry Funk. And I'm going to wrap with that. And maybe today I'll dig out and find the match from Amarillo, and maybe I'll even find a means by which to make it available for people to see so they can see the crazy night in Amarillo, Texas. So, yeah, Jared, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. And I assume when Brian gets back from the UK, we will get back with our regular shows. If he does not, then I will get to the cues that were sent in, because I do appreciate them. But I can't imagine anyone will begrudge me talking about Terry Funk rather than doing some Q&As. So, adios, everybody.